From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Learn by Example. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's text is found in Psalm 138 and verse 5. They shall sing in the ways of the Lord. The time when Christians begin to sing in the ways of the Lord is when they first lose their burden at the foot of the cross. Not even the songs of the angels seem so sweet as the first song of rapture which gushes from the inmost soul of the forgiven child of God. You know how John Bunyan describes it. He says, when poor Pilgrim lost his burden at the cross, he gave three great leaps and went on his way singing, Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre, blessed rather be the man that there was put to shame for me. Believer, do you recollect the day when your fetters fell off? Do you remember the place when Jesus met you and said, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have blotted out as a cloud thy transgressions, and as a thick cloud thy sins. They shall not be mentioned against thee any more forever. Oh, what a sweet season is that when Jesus takes away the pain of sin. When the Lord first pardoned my sin, I was so joyous that I could scarce refrain from dancing. I thought on my road home from the house where I had been set at liberty that I must tell the stones in the street the story of my deliverance. So full was my soul of joy that I wanted to tell every snowflake that was falling from heaven of the wondrous love of Jesus who had blotted out the sins of one of the chief of rebels. But it is not only at the commencement of the Christian life that believers have reason for song. As long as they live, they discover cause to sing in the ways of the Lord, and their experience of his constant loving kindness leads them to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. See to it, brother, that thou magnifiest the Lord this day. Long as we tread this desert land, new mercies shall new songs demand.
I will sing of wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will sing, I will sing, I will
sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid thy debt and made me free. Paid thy debt and made me free.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns begins an exposition of verses 10 through 43 of chapter 9. Three great disciples figure in this passage: Ananias, Barnabas, and Simon Peter. Dr. Cairns will draw important spiritual lessons from the character and actions of each man. The first is Ananias, the disciple whom the Lord commanded to seek out the newly converted Saul of Tarsus and to present to him Christ's commission as an apostle. Although Ananias was understandably fearful of the man who had been a rabid persecutor of Christians, he obeyed Christ's command, thereby demonstrating his deep spiritual commitment to the Savior. Now, to introduce a message called Learn by Example, here is Dr. Cairns.
Turning this morning once more to the book of Acts, continuing our studies in that book, and we're looking again at the ninth chapter. Last Lord's Day morning, we were considering the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. And if you remember, we were taking that great conversion as an indication as to what conversion really is all about. Now, this morning I want to take three passages in the ninth chapter of Acts, and I want us to look a little more practically. There's nothing very deep doctrinally in the passages we want to look at, but we want to look at some practical lessons from three short passages. Acts chapter 9, verse 10 through to 17, then verse 27 and 28, and then verse 32 through to the end of the chapter. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For, behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call in thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Verse 27, speaking of Barnabas's attitude to Saul of Tarsus, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And then verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they led her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. The Lord will add his own blessing to these readings from his own precious word for his name's sake. It's often said that the best way to learn is by example. The saying, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day, forms the line of a song. I don't know if you know it or not, but it forms the line of a song. But it really is a very old saying, and I must confess, while it doesn't have all the truth about the subject, it certainly does have a certain amount of truth in it. Now, by that standard, the portions of Scripture we have read this morning are highly instructive for the people of God, because here we have the examples of three great men of God at work. Here we see three outstanding servants of the Lord about their master's business. And I want just very simply this morning to look at Ananias and then at Barnabas. And since we have already done a full character study of Barnabas in the past, we're not going to go over the ground we have covered, but simply look at the one thing we're told about him here, how he took Saul and brought him to the apostles. We're going to look then at Ananias, and then at Barnabas, and then at Simon Peter. Three outstanding disciples, three outstanding servants, and we see them here going about their work. We want first to consider Ananias, the disciple whose communion led to a great commission. We read in verse 10, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Now, I want you to notice the character with whom we're dealing. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. We are not told there was a certain great pastor. We are not told there was a certain great preacher. We are not told there was a leader among the people of God at Damascus named Ananias. No, we are introduced to the rank and file of the Church of Christ at Damascus, and we are told that in the common body of the people, there was a certain disciple called Ananias. You'll find there's a very close parallel with what we read later in verse 36. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, or Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Now, I think the Holy Spirit has not placed those words there by accident or for no purpose. I think that the very framing of these sentences is there to show us something that we can quite easily overlook, that the early church was not all made up of Peter's and Barnabas's and Paul's. The early church was made up, rather, of a great body of ordinary men and women. Ordinary in the sense that if they get named as they are here, it is just a passing reference to the name. They are just a certain disciple by the name of. We don't have any biography. We don't have any notion of their past or subsequent service. All we know is what we are told in these two very, very brief narratives about them. But I think that by that very fact, the Holy Spirit is impressing upon us that this is the quality of the ordinary believer in the early church. These are nothing outstanding in the early church. Ananias, you could replicate him in every church that you would find. You would find a Dorcas, I think, in every congregation. You would find ordinary, down-to-earth people who had been saved by the grace of God. They were not counted great in the eyes of men. They were never going to scale the heights of eminence in the church. They were never going to be great, world-renowned church leaders. They were just the ordinary rank and file of the church. But they were good men. They were good women. They were men of God. They were women who knew the Lord. You know, a church can not only go by the abilities or even the spiritual stature of its preacher. Now, I know that those things count, and there is a very real sense in which, in most cases, a preacher will reproduce in his congregation that which he finds in his own heart. That's not an unbreakable law, but there's a lot to support that. If you get a preacher who's carnal, normally, you'll get the church going carnal. If you get the preacher who doesn't lay much emphasis on the word, you'll find that the people don't lay much emphasis on the word. If you get the preacher soft-peddling and separation, then you'll get the people normally soft-peddling and separation. If you get the preacher going easy on prayer, then you'll get the people losing interest in prayer. So there is a sense in which the preacher will see in his congregation a picture of himself. But there are instances where congregations have had outstanding preachers, and yet they have not really accomplished anything great for God, because the general standard of Christianity, what one great Chinese leader called the normal Christian life, is not to be found. The general standard of Christianity, the normal Christian life, demanded by the Word of God, is not to be found among God's people. So often you find Christians, the ordinary run of Christians, just the majority in a church, who are going nowhere fast with God. I think it's true in every church nowadays that you'll get a nucleus. You'll get the group in the church who are going through with God, who are really praying, who are really witnessing, who are really going out after souls, who are really standing for the Lord, who are really seeking to do the Lord's will. You'll get a nucleus like that, but you'll get a greater band who are just on the periphery of things, and they're drifting along. They're doing nothing particular for God. They just come and they go from the place of the holy, as the Scripture puts it, and they're untouched. Now I want to ask you this morning, how would you measure up to an Ananias or to a Dorcas? How would your life have appeared, taking it as it now is, how would it have appeared if that life had been lived in the early church? You know, I think a lot of people who pass as Christians today wouldn't even have been accepted as Christians in those days. No matter about their head knowledge and their head beliefs, they would not have been accepted as Christians at all. They would have been told, you just don't live for God. I want to tell you, friend, that this church needs its people to go through with God. We need our pews to be filled with men like Ananias and women like Tabitha. We need our ordinary people, the members of this congregation, the people who are seeking to stand with us here to establish the work of God, we need them to be good men and good women, godly men and godly women. It's not enough that we have a few. It's not enough that our elders can be depended on. It's not enough that we can pinpoint one or two. It ought to be something that runs through the entire length and breadth of the church. Now, coming back to Ananias, verse 10, I want you to notice his communion with the Lord. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. You'll notice that Ananias wasn't in the slightest bit amazed or shocked that the Lord spoke to him. I believe the reason for that is very simple, that Ananias was in touch with the Lord every day. Here's an ordinary disciple, but he was in touch with God. Here's an ordinary man in the church, in the world's estimation, a nobody, but obviously he was holding frequent converse with the Lord. Now, that's the secret of spiritual development, and that's the secret of spiritual growth. Too many of God's people get no food from God but what they receive from a preacher. Too many of God's people do not for themselves get down to meet with the Lord and really day by day, by faith, see the face of the Lord. Too many of God's people come and go from church, but in their whole home and in their private devotions, they have no personal daily communion with the Lord. Now, I want you to examine yourself by this criterion. If the Lord were to speak to you today as he spoke to Ananias, what would your reaction be? I'll tell you, if the Lord spoke to most Christians as he spoke to Ananias, they would nearly die of a heart attack. They wouldn't know what's happening. I fear that there are many Christians, and if the Lord really spoke to them, they may be like young Samuel in the days before he knew the Lord. They wouldn't even recognize the voice of God because they are not spending time in conversation with the Lord from day to day. Here was a man then, an ordinary man. This is the normal Christian life. This is the standard to which every believer ought to attain from day to day. Here is an ordinary man living an ordinary Christian life, and he's living in daily close communion with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.